Welcome to You Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Yesenia,
and Mariah Duncan.
I just graduated from Lytonville High School, and Mariah will be a senior this fall. Today our topic is travel and education. Last month, Jenny and Elora hosted a You Speaks Out on education beyond the classroom. Part of what they spoke about was a trip to Washington, D.C. that a group of Laytonville High School students took this spring. Washington, D.C. has many museums and monuments, most of them related to the history of the United States. A visit to a capital city offers many educational experiences, and those who went learned a great deal. We were not on that trip, but we have done some traveling, and we want to talk about how being in other cultures and places gives us insights into ourselves. My family is from Guadalajara, Mexico, and I have been there to visit relatives a number of times. I was born in Mendocino County and have received all my education here. I have roots in two countries and am fluent in both languages. I live in Branscombe, which is 10 miles outside of Laytonville, which is a very small, rural community. Neither Branscombe nor Laytonville is a typical part of California, nor a typical part of the United States. I have seen how many relatives in Mexico live, and it has given me insights into how we live here as Americans. Part of what we will discuss today is how travel and being in different places is an exciting form of education. This is not limited to exotic trips going to Laytonville, to Ukiah, or Fort Bragg to Santa Rosa. Can be quite a change of culture. In some ways, gaining a new perspective is a true goal of all education. Some students in rural areas grow up thinking that urban areas are terrifying and dangerous. Others think that people in cities have much more fun and lead exciting lives, like the characters on television. Some people grow up thinking that people from other countries are strange and exotic, almost like a different species. Most racial prejudice arises from a lack of first-hand experience. Mark Twain said, "Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, a narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth in all one's lifetime. The expense of taking a family on a vacation to a foreign land, say Mexico or Italy or Iran, makes it out of the question for many people. Many youth have to wait until they are out of high school before they can explore much beyond Mendocino County. There are some foreign exchange programs, though. Few local youth take advantage of this. In this age, traveling through the media is readily available and educational, but it certainly isn't the same as being somewhere else. But is that a start? T.S. Eliot wrote, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started, and know the place for the first time." We are going to spend this hour talking about travel and education, and how it changes our ability to perceive our world and our place in it. When we open the phone lines in 20 minutes or so, we would like to hear from you about growing up and living in a rural, relatively remote area. Has travel influenced your life? If you have children, have you been able to take them out to spend time in other states or countries? We'll start this part of the show by talking about what we have learned by traveling outside of Laytonville, Long Valley, and Mendocino County. Mariah, where have you gone that stands out in your mind as an educational experience?
Mexico. And Arizona. Well, when I went there, first we went through Arizona, Phoenix. And we stopped there to go get something to eat, and I noticed around me the surroundings, there's a whole bunch of desert and hardly any of green bushes and trees and stuff, and it was really, really hot. And then when we kept on traveling, I noticed around me in Mexico there was deserts and trees, and well, not pine trees, but different kind of trees that I never noticed. And people around me outside were playing around, kicking ball, or either playing games and stuff, like, not hide and seek, but, like, dancing or other stuff, and they would, like, play game boards that, like, Mexican bingo and stuff. It's really, really different.
I've never really been much out of the country beyond Mexico and just hanging out here in the United States, but in Mexico, like, one of the things that I've noticed is that it's mostly party and have fun and work, family, mostly family. And also, like, the exotic colors that I find down there and the traditions, and I guess it kind of makes me thinking of our own traditions here in the United States, and there's a big difference between the two, but that's just me, I guess. So, describe how, like, your life here, how do you see it differently from other places that you've visited and from what you've seen here?
Like, in Mexico, I see, like, their color flags and, like, festivals they do, and down there, I've been to one, and it was, like, amazing. Like, they had fireworks and stuff that were, like, really bigger than our fireworks down here. And then they would have different kind of foods, like pizza. They would put mayonnaise and ketchup on it, and I thought that was really weird, but until, like, I tried it, it was really, really good. And they played games, like, kind of like tag, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would, like, have pinatas and hit the pinata, but then they would sing a song while the person, like, the kid was hitting the pinata, and I don't know how it goes, but it's really
sorry. One of the things that I've also noticed is that, well, I'm mostly going to be talking about Mexico because that's the only place I've actually visited. But one of the things that I've noticed in Mexico is that down there, not many people envy each other. It's just get what you can afford, and if you can't afford it, then work harder just to get what you want. And it's basically kind of just spend what you work hard for, which makes you feel good. It's like you work really hard and you worry about it and stress out about it, and then you finally say, wow, it's just my paycheck, it's this amount, and I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy that. So you're kind of enjoying working hard for your money and spending it on what you want. And I've never really been envied because I'm not one that loves style and fashion. I'm just wear what I like when I wake up and how I feel. And so have you ever been envied for anything? Like, just...
Well, I've been envied to some things. Like, I saw this one person that had, like, this very nice iPod Touch, and I really wanted it. But then I said, well, if I work, I get a job and work for it, then I might get it. Like, right now I have a job, and it's a healthy start, and I work with little children and stuff.
Yeah. So, how do you see... like, people that live in different places, how do you see them?
I see them sometimes sad or sometimes depressed or happy and stuff.
Like, most of my family members, especially because most of my family decided to move down here thinking that they're going to have a better life. And so most of them live in cities like Los Angeles and Sacramento, Santa Rosa, and but I came from Fort Bragg, California, and now I live here in Branscombe, Laytonville, Branscombe, and whenever they come down here and they say, oh, wow, I love this place, it's so quiet and solemn, peaceful, and I can do whatever I want down here and just go walking, and I kind of asked myself, I was like, wait, but you live in places where there's a lot of stores, and I don't know, I guess the way I picture it, living it here, is that in a city you can do a lot more, go shopping. There's a lot of more jobs and places to live. But when I asked my family members, like, well, yeah, there's a lot of stores and stuff, but it's also pretty expensive down there. And there's a lot of traffic and cars and constant worrying that you're not going to get shot once you walk out of your house. So, but in a way, I actually enjoy living here better than living in a city because I'm more of a reserved person. But I actually do consider myself lucky to be living in Mendocino County because although it's a small place, it's actually opened up a lot of doors for me, What about you, Mara?
Me too, because I love to go on hikes, like, around where I live. It's on Branscombe Road. And I just go walk to my work. And I go on this trail, and it's, like, amazing. Like, there's a creek by it. Well, the trail on it has a, like, it's up on a hill on a cliff. Not that very big, but down in the creek, there's, like, a little stream of creek, and sometimes I go down there to get my feet sweat, and yeah, so I consider myself being lucky to live in Mendocino County. So, Yessie, when you travel, do you gain new ways of seeing and when you go to Mexico?
Actually, yeah. My first time I traveled to Mexico, I was actually 6 years old. And I was just so amazed of all the things that I was seeing down there. And I wanted to try different things and different foods. Because when I was 6 years old, living in Fort Bragg, you could hardly see a Mexican restaurant. Mm-hmm. You it would be so hard for you to eat a taco. Like, you would have... I remember my dad said that when my mom was pregnant on me, when he first moved here, he had to go all the way to Santa Rosa because there was only one Mexican restaurant in this, like, close by. He's like, mm-hmm. I had to drive all the way to Santa Rosa just to kind of make my mom eat what she wanted. So when I went to Mexico, I wanted to try so many things, and I wanted to go and explore a lot of different places and talk to different people and kind of ask them different questions. And I wanted to try so many different things that I actually got sick from going down there and eating a lot of food. So, but besides that, it was really fun. And I guess my dad decided to take me to where there were people that lived, say, put in a way, rich. And then there were people that lived in the middle class and then the lower class and then technically the poverty. Mm. And just by looking at all the poor people and not really concentrating on the rich or the middle class, just mainly at the poor people, it made me feel like when I grew up, I wanted to help them. And so I decided to talk to my dad about things. And he said that if I really wanted to help them, then I would have to start small. So I decided just to, like, start an organization. And I haven't started yet, but I'm going to once I move down there, because I am. But what about you?
Well, like, I wanted to try new foods, so I tried it. And it was really, really good. I love the food down there. Every day they have, like, beans. Well, I really don't like beans, but rice is really good down there, too.
They give you gas.
Yeah. But anyways, like, I tried their tacos down there. I was like, oh my god, I loved it. And, like, I fell in love with their food. Like, I think it was the fourth time I've been down there, or the third, but my two little sisters, they tried, like, the hamburgers down there on the street vendors. And I knew I wasn't going to get sick because I was used to their food down there. But then Anita and Audrey got sick. Like, they got food poisoning except for me, my mom, and my dad, because we were all used to it because we've been down to Mexico, like, so many times. But then Anita and Audrey has only been down there, like, twice. So then they got food poisoning. It was, like, hilarious.
So how do you see, like, because you traveled to Mexico a lot, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So when you went to Mexico, what did you see in the homes and education and stuff like that? Because I know it's really different from here in Mexico.
Well, when I went down there, like, my cousins down there, they didn't go to school. Well, some of them went to school and others didn't. Like, my cousin, like, he's, like, around my age. He didn't go to school. He stayed home and sometimes work or, like, just help his mom out and stuff because she has, like four kids. And I think the three of them goes to school. But, yeah, and their work is different because they go to ranch and they go to the ranches to help or, like, help in stores and or help their mom.
So, you didn't get to go to the travel experience, did you?
No.
No, neither did I. But I was talking to Jenny, I think it was Jenny, no, it was actually Amanda Henson. She was talking about how it was so crazy down there, and the history about Washington. And I actually had joined the group, but then I had to get out because I was going to be able to go. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't want the school to spend money on my ticket and later on not me going. But I think me kind of missing that opportunity to go to Washington was kind of a bummer. Because, I don't know, I guess I wanted to learn more about, I guess, my country, and I enjoy history. So, and whenever I go to Mexico, I always ask my grandparents I ask them questions about their grandparents, tell them stories. And, like, my dad was telling me about his grandfather and how he fought with, you know, Pancho Villa,
yeah,
the famous soldier down there. And so he was kind of like Mexico's Robin Hood. And he was talking to me about how his grandfather fought with him and how the war was down there, and how women usually loaded the guns while the men fired, and they had their kids on their back even in war. So I asked my dad if any of my grandma or any of my uncles were with them, and he's like, no. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, but my grandfather was telling me that they would always carry their wives would carry their kids in the back tied up in the shawl, and they would be firing and guns would be loaded and stuff. So it's pretty crazy when you learn about different histories and how you find missing links in each one. And when you learn from a different country, you kind of feel that missing link and it kind of all fits in together. But like, how when you went to Mexico or wherever you went, and you saw like the different places, cultures down there, what did you reveal out of yourself? Like, what did you say, wow, I never knew this about myself?
Well, I learned, I have a stepdad, but he's my stepdad. I'm not really his daughter. I'm like his stepdaughter, mm-hmm, or something like that. Well, I thought it was very cool to learn his culture instead of like my culture, which I'm Native American, but he's Mexican. And when I went down there, I learned that they were like kind of natives too, because they lived a native way back then, like a Native American and stuff. They like hunt animals, like they kill animals down there and eat them, like back in the day,
mm-hmm,
like in natives. And I thought that was really cool because in a way we're like, me and him are kind of like similar to each other and stuff.
Although you're Native American and he's Hispanic.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things I also noticed in Mexico is the housing differences and the clothing differences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here it's all about the blingage.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hip-hop, and you have to have, like, the big rings, the big hoops, and the really nice fancy sneakers and shirts that sometimes reveal too much or not much. So it's all about what you look. The image. And most adults kind of judge based on what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And in Mexico, it's nothing like that. Well, where I usually go, it's nothing like that. It's just wear what you feel comfortable. Yeah, they dress nice, but their clothing isn't all about, like, bam, it's like, oh, jewels. It's not like that. And I don't know, I guess I fit in more down there because I'm so, I don't know, I guess I don't really like the big jewels, and
mm-hmm,
I don't really like showing off things that I have. It's just, well, oh, look, I have this.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, I guess people just point it out. But also, like, the food, how it's always available everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like you just like step out of your doorway, it's like, oh, look, there's a food stand right there. And mangoes, freshly peeled, and bananas and grapes and strawberries and just tacos and tortas ahogadas and stuff. And just go around the corner and there's a store and you get your milk. And also like the gas down there for your house, like for stoves, there's always like this big trucks that carry the gas containers, and they just like pull over and stop by each people's houses, and they give them the containers that they need and the amount that they need, and they just pay. So I guess you save more money down there on your housing gas and water because there's actually trucks that drive by your house and just drop it off for you.
Yeah.
But you can also, you can't always trust the water they give you because it can also be just from a regular faucet.
Yeah.
So you have to test it. But also, like, the level of technology, like, do you think everybody watches a lot of TV down there?
No, not really. Because they just want to hang out with the family and spend that time together instead of just watching TV and stuff.
So do a lot of people own a lot of cars? And
no, not really, because they don't need a car to get to the store because they live on a ranch, like a big whole ranch. Mm-hmm. And like the store is like only a few minutes away and stuff.
Yeah. Also, like, one of my mom, from a young age, her goals for me were to go to school, graduate from high school, go to college, find a really good paying job, and to find a nice, respectable boyfriend and get married and have kids. That was her future for me.
Mm-hmm.
But in Mexico, I guess it's nearly the same thing, but it's mostly focused on the husband and the amount of kids and a job. What do you think?
Yeah, like, with my mom, she told, like, for her goals for me is, like, get an education, go to school, go to college, find a job, and live a happy life and stuff.
Yeah, it's mostly based on happiness because in Mexico, you don't really focus on debt. Like, here, it's based on how much money you have, what you have to pay. Most people hardly even sleep because it's like, oh my god, I have to pay this bill, and I have this short amount of time to pay it, and oh my god, I'm going to lose my job. Yeah. So it's constant worrying about what you have to pay. And in Mexico, they hardly own any credit cards. Yeah. So you don't really have a debt. And the banks down there, the banks are pretty good down there. And when you get the money, you get it, and they basically pay off their loans and stuff. But the reason why sometimes Mexico is such a, how can I put this? It doesn't seem like they're wealthy enough. Like, they are just practically down in the dumps in a way, to say it, just to put it that way, is because the government spends most of the money on themselves, and it's mostly based on like politics down there. It's not about, oh, how are we going to help our country? It's not like that down there. And here in the United States, it's in a way mostly about war and getting out of debt and stuff. But most of the people that live here in the United States are in constant debt.
And they're depressed.
And they can't afford housing and buy cars and stuff. And if you do have a house, you're practically paying it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I also noticed down there is how families respect each other, like elders and women and kids. But with kids, they're actually quite strict, don't you think?
Yeah.
And women, they have their own rights down there. And I don't remember when women actually got their rights to speak their mind. Because I remember it used to be women couldn't talk what they couldn't really speak their mind and give an opinion. It was mostly they were the average housewife, cook, clean, and take
care
of the kids.
They're supposed to talk when they've been talked to first. So like talking right away to guys.
Yeah, and the mothers are very, very strict with their kids. Not like harsh beating strict, but just like they set their rules, and I know for firsthand experience. So, but also, like, their religion, I guess, from a very young age, to set their religion. And did you ever have to go to church or anything like that?
Yeah, I did go to church, but when I went down there, they told me I have a choice to go or not to go. So, like, my choice was to go so that I can learn their religion and stuff. And it was really interesting, but I couldn't understand them. But yeah, it was cool.
For me, it was, I didn't really have a choice. I had a choice on whether I could believe in the religion that they were offering me or not, but I still had to go to church and stuff and do my first communion and my confirmación and stuff like that. So, But I remember at a very young age when I started learning about my religion, I had so many questions. It was constant questioning my mom and my dad about, wait, what if this was like this, how did this happen? Or yeah. if that was like this, how did that happen? So, but then I just started, well, having faith in what I believed in and stuff. But do you think people live happier lives, like simpler, people that live simpler life, are they happy or and less confused, or are they just...
Yeah, in Mexico, they are, like, sometimes happy or live a simpler life because they don't have to worry about debt or, like, paying off the bills for their house or their car or, like, cell phone bills and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I have more fun and I enjoy myself more when I go to Mexico than what I am here because it's just like wake up in the morning, go to school, go home, do your homework, eat dinner, go to sleep, wake up again, go to school. So it's like constant routine.
Yeah.
And in Mexico, it's like, oh, wake up, go to school. You can go to a store or a centro. That's how we call it. A centro. Yeah. Go shopping, eat mangoes, and go to church if you want to. Come home, have fun with your family, or go out and stuff. So you don't have to worry much. It's just pay gas and water. That's all you have to do down there. Because it's like once you pay your place, your area, that's it. That's your place. You don't have to keep paying the government for it. All you have to pay is gas and water and food. Yeah. You have to live on food. Unless you're like most people that just decide not to cook and go out and eat.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Are there more things to... I don't think there are more things to do here than in other places. What do you think?
Well, here, like, I could go hiking. I could ride my bike without paying it because it's free.
Yeah. But, like, on jobs and education and friends, like, do you think is it better, like, in urban areas in Mendocino, do you think it's there's more opportunities in jobs and education and friends, or are there less opportunities?
Less, because then, like, in urban areas, you have to pay to go, you don't have to pay to get in the mall, but when you buy stuff, you have to, like, pay, and it's really expensive. And then when you go to the movies, it's paid to get in, or when you just, like, in the areas, like shopping malls, movie theaters, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Like, I remember Fort Bragg, it was just this regular average town that worked in fish and wood and stuff. And now it's gone so bad that it's no more a town. It's more like a tourist place. Like, there's a lot of museums and more stores, and it's more expensive down there. So, I don't know, I guess things change depending on the population that a town gets and the attention that it receives.
It's like in Eureka, where my sister goes to college at, like in Arcata, it's like there's more stores and more like theater places and stuff like for people to visit and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like in the city, when you go to Sarasota, are you usually when I go, I don't really pay attention to the people around me.
Yeah.
I just go to the mall. It's like, oh, there's a lot of people around me, but I don't really care. I just go where I want to go and that's it. But like when you go somewhere, San Francisco, for instance, do you get amazed by the amount of people that are there? Or
sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Like, it depends if I'm paying attention or not. Like, sometimes when I'm down there, like, when I go down there, I don't pay attention because I just want to go where I want to go and get there on time and just enjoy life.
But when you go to the city, you're more interested in education or entertainment?
Entertainment.
Entertainment, yeah. Is it easier to meet people in cities?
No.
So, like, I don't know. Are people less lonely in cities?
Yeah, because there's a whole bunch of people, but there's a whole bunch of people there, but you don't know them. Like, less people you can meet and you know around you.
I think people are more lonely in cities.
Yeah.
Because it's, I don't know, I guess it's because, for me, I'm very shy.
Me too.
I'm a very, very shy person. It takes me a long time. Like, you remember when me and you met?
Yeah.
It took me, like, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years, so that we can finally, like, talk to each other.
Yeah.
So it takes me a long time, especially for me. So living in a big city, it doesn't call my name.
I know.
But when you go to a city, have you ever been to a city?
Yeah.
When you go to a city, do you and your friends constantly go to events, or do you, or is it you can't afford it?
Well, if we have the money, we go to events like the movie theaters, or we go to, like, say we go to a baseball game, like in Giants or San Francisco Giants. Like, it's the only ones I've been to.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really go to the cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles. I don't know. I don't really go to many places and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a girl from our high school that graduated, I think, 2 years ago, Saskia.
Yeah.
And she said, I would tell the host to touch on that traditional and cultural of other countries and the lack of it because the U.S. is such a young country. Also, it has been to war that people here have never really seen a war at home and what it really does to a place, the direct effect per se. Also, food, transportation, and laws are majorly different. Don't know if it helps any, but for me, the biggest effect of travel on me as a person has been that you are really shown how big the world is and how small you are to it in comparison, how many people are out there, and the effect we have on each other as a whole. People who never leave small towns seem to forget there's billions and billions of other people out there at this moment, dying, suffering, or affecting our planet in positive and negative ways. And that you as a person, no matter how far from the other side of the world you are also affecting others in the world with your choices. I don't know, when I read that, it kind of got me thinking. And she actually hit a really good view right there.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I guess when I go down the highway and I see a lot of garbage out, like, the people decide not to stop by in a gas station and wait to throw it away, just kind of throw it out their window.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that smoke also throw, like, their cigarette butts and just throw it out, and it causes fires.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, people are kind of ignorant on how their actions affect others. It's just kind of like, oh, well, whatever, you know, I'll just do whatever,
like,
I want.
They don't care about the world.
Yeah, they just,
so.
they don't really care. And then there's a lot of selfishness out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
greedy.
Yeah, and a lot of race and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever been criticized or insulted for, like, color of skin or who you were or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Especially on TV. It's been going on a lot on TV, too.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can't really be a verbal attack towards a person because of who they are. It can also be a physical or mental.
Yeah.
So, and it affects a person so much on how they see this country, because, like, I don't know, I guess I've always kind of heard people constantly argue that, oh, we can't, like, most, like, Asians and people from Iraq and Iran and Mexico, especially, that they cross the border and they come down here. And, like, after World War II, I remember, and, like, when you went to a gas station or you saw somebody that looked Arabian,
mm-hmm.
it was like, oh my God, he has a bomb. And I remember I was just kind of going to a gas station, there are these group of teenagers outside, and they were making fun of the cashier because the cashier, he looked like he came from Iraq.
Yeah.
But I really didn't kind of pay attention to it much. And then on my way out, they were kind of just making fun of how he was the reason that a lot of people died in New York City. And I was like, wow, they're so, I don't know, kind of dumb in a way.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even know what's going on half of the time in the world. And what they see in the news, they kind of believe. But yeah. Not everything that you see on TV is true.
Yeah, like with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
They say that he raped a little kid. But would you believe the news that people tell you on TV? Like, I don't think half of that stuff is true. And yeah. He didn't do anything wrong. It's just his he had a bad or rough life in his life.
So we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call. Please call if you have ideas about travel and education. What do you think of Maya Angelou's statement that perhaps travel cannot prevent bigotry, but the demonstrating that all peoples cry, laugh, eat, worry, and die? It can introduce the idea that if we try and understand each other, we may even become friends. Did you travel much as a young person? Do you take your children outside of your local community to learn about how other people live? Do you take them to the Bay Area to see museums and multicultural events? Should travel and field trips be a regular part of our educational system? Is traveling more easily done after high school? Is it ecologically sound to travel? How did travel affect your education? Did you go away to college? Did you join the military or the Peace Corps and travel? How you visit the places where your ancestors came from? So please call 456-9991. Your ideas and opinions are very important. Were you born around here, or did you come to Mendocino County from a different culture? What is different about life here that compelled you to move here? What keeps you here? Please call in and be part of this conversation. Our goal is to involve the community in a dialogue that we can all learn from. What would you say about travel being an important part of education? Tell us your travel stories. The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn on your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. So, Mariah, like, do you think you have bigger opportunities here in education than what you saw in Mexico? So, like, are you happy that you have this opportunity to go to school and graduate and stuff?
Yes, I do.
How so?
Like, I kind of feel bad for those people down in Mexico, like, who doesn't have, like, schooling and stuff like that, because they can't afford it. But here I am, like, kind of happy, because I have the advantage to have that education and, like, learn stuff that I never knew and stuff.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Is my radio bothering this phone call?
No.
Okay, I hear a little feedback. I'll just move over to the refrigerator. I'm an older student of the area. I came here at age 7, 1949, to visit some mail-order grandma and grandpas I somehow had a chance to spend time with. And it was a little different then, because as you speak of, you know, of the Second War, I think you were referring to the sand crabs over there. And when I was raised here in the community, kind of around Spyrock Old Road there, the World War II referred to an action that just took place 4 years to its immediate end. And that was 1945. So we didn't have a lot of spare parts, and all the gears and all the tires were worn out, and people would barter to get up and down the road, and loggers were beginning to spend a little more time with their equipment rather than tanks and machine guns and things. So it was a little different, but I digress. What I was wondering, I used to donate to the Spyrock School when it started, and I heard that they had gone to Washington, and earlier in your conversation I heard maybe one of the ladies referring to that Washington trip, maybe, or was that not the case?
We come from the Laytonville High School, and they went to Washington this spring, but I don't think it was related to the Spyrock.
Ah, yes, it was. Such a trail. Well, I'll have to go. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. So, I guess traveling does help a lot in education, because you learn a lot from different places, and I don't know, you just kind of get a different impact when you go there.
Yeah. Like, when I went there, like, I saw different many things, like, I never knew and stuff, and I was so very interested into that stuff.
So our phone number, again, is 456-9991. We'd really like to hear from you, so please call in. Your ideas are very important to us, so you can start a discussion here. But, oh God, I really wish I could have gone to the Washington trip so I could talk about it more, but I didn't have that chance. Yeah. But did you hear anything about that trip?
No.
No.
But, like, I want to talk about my culture and the Mexican culture. Like, my culture, like, it's kind of similar to the Mexicans because we're kind of, like, native. We lived in native ways and stuff. Like, we hunted animals. We had animals, like, to raise and stuff. But we grew crops and we had corn. We, like, lived in teepees and huts and stuff like that. And, like, but my culture, my relatives back then, they lived up north in America. And it was very, like, I asked my mom and my grandma, and they told me a lot of stuff about that. Like, my native culture is Pomo and Wailaki, and I learned a lot of stuff about that. Like, my mom is either Wailaki, and I got the Pomo side from my real dad, and it was very cool to learn about my culture and
kind
stuff.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. My name is Poobah, and I heard the radio show, and I wanted to talk to you about something that I did when I went over to Europe when I was 19 years old. I'm 55 now. But when I decided to go over to Europe, I was a little embarrassed because I didn't speak any foreign languages, and I was raised by a very funny father that had a very good English sense of humor. And so when I traveled through Europe, to make matters fun, I went out and bought a rubber chicken and tied a rope around the legs of the rubber chicken. And it was like a clothesline that was about 20 feet long, and attached the other end to my belt loop. And I had my backpack, and everywhere I went, I dragged this chicken behind me. And the reason I did that was because I didn't speak any foreign languages, and I was embarrassed for the people that had trodden the path before me from the United States. Now, what was funny about it is once people realized that that's why I was doing it, I met the chief of police, the mayor. I was welcomed into people's homes because they realized that I was trying to come at them not feeling that I was superior to everywhere I went. And so my recommendation when people are traveling is to make sure that you remember your sense of humor and remember yourself as to the people that trod the path before you, to try to make mend those bridges and mend those paths that have been eroded by our lack of sense of community.
So what gave you the idea of tying the chicken? Like, why not use something else?
Well, you know, rubber chickens have always been used as a sense of humor. It was a silly thing. I had children chasing me everywhere I went. Everybody would laugh. And now when I travel, I've been clowning for 30 years. And when I travel around the world, what's interesting is in the United States, if I was to go out in the middle of an intersection and direct traffic as a clown, they'd arrest me.
Yeah.
But if I go to Mexico, I could go right to Mexico City, to a large town. I could go to Rome. I could go to different places throughout the world and stand in the middle of an intersection and start directing traffic. And as long as I wasn't causing accidents, they'd leave me alone and the police would sit there and wave to me and let me do it.
So what do you think is the difference between this country and other countries that you've been at?
What's the difference between this country and other countries?
Yeah.
I think that everybody believes that this, you know, in other countries believe that there might be something called the American dream, that they want to aspire to, like, raise their level up to what we have in this country. And what I've noticed in other countries is there's an incredible amount of spirituality and joy of life. People want to live their lives as opposed to live to work.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so, anyway, I just thought that would be a humorous antidote to talk about because of, you know, traveling. I've had an incredible amount of, I've probably traveled over a quarter of a million miles by my thumb in a backpack. across different places in the world, and it's been through my sense of humor that wherever I've gone, when I traveled through Australia and New Zealand, I had a sign that said "Harmless Fool," and people would fight to pull over. I'd have three or four cars that would pull over to pick me up, and they'd be like, "No, we want to give them a ride. No, we want to give them a ride," because they just like. So, don't forget when you're traveling. Don't forget your sense of humor. It's really important for you to keep an eye on your, you know, like your safety, but
yeah.
A sense of humor is very, very important in life.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you.
Thank you.
So our number is 456-9991. Please call in. We'd like to hear from you and hear from any sort of travel stories. They are very important to us so we could start a discussion. So Mariah, I don't know. I guess I'm still kind of caught the thought of the rubber chicken.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
He had a good point. Like, you should, like, still keep a sense of humor when you travel. Like, so then you won't feel left out and stuff. And then people might like you. Like think you, oh, you don't know English or any our language and stuff. So we're going to just leave you alone and not talk to you. But if you, like, have a sense of humor, like, they still might understand, like, know that's humor and stuff, because even though it's in a, like, it's not in their language, they still know it's funny and stuff.
Yeah, everybody has to have fun.
Yeah, once in a while.
So
I'm gonna tell you a story about my ancestors. My ancestors were like natives, and I had like kind of English to my ancestors too. Like, my great grandma, her name is Anne, but she passed away like years back. But she came from England to America when she was like maybe in her 19, I don't know. But then she met her husband Phil and stuff, and they got married, have kids. And then I have other ancestors, like Native Americans, and they lived a really interesting life that I want to know about or learn about more and stuff, but I have to ask my mom.
Yeah, and don't you hate that feeling, like, when you get started and learning where you come from and how there's just a small portion of information that you receive, and how sometimes, like, I wish my great-great-grandparents were here, and because, I don't know, since a very early age, I used to ask my dad a lot, like, yeah. Oh, what did you when you were a kid, and how did you and my mom meet? So it's like, I wanted to learn where I came from, what they did, how the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I was always so curious about my past and my family members and stuff. But like, did she just like tell you out of nowhere about your past, like your family story, or did you ask?
I asked because my mom, she has like pictures of my great grandma and her grandma and like World War II and stuff. And I asked my mom, how is grandma, like, did she travel here, like, from a different place? She said, yeah, she came from England and then she came to America because she wanted to live a different life and stuff. Like, she has. Like, my grandma traveled on, like, this boat named, or called, something, like, Elizabeth something, like, Elizabeth II or something like that. But she, like, when she lived in, England, she met her husband there, because her husband, or husband was in war and stuff, and he was, and my grandma was, a nurse, like, attending to the soldiers and stuff, and she had a baby, and while the war was going on, she hid her baby in the chimney so then he wouldn't get hurt and stuff. And I thought that was very interesting to learn about.
Yeah. So we only have a few minutes, so please call in. Our number is 456-9991. We'd really like to hear from you all, so just call us. For us, I guess, I don't know, my dad, he just kind of started telling me about the war back then and what he had learned in school, because he actually didn't really go to middle school. He went to second grade and that was it, and he's really good at multiplying, dividing, and he's really good at fixing things, building things and stuff. And so I don't know, I guess I wanted to learn. I like learning different things. I get kind of bored doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, me too.
So when we opened the phone lines we would like to hear from you about growing up and living in a rural, relative, remote area. Has travel influenced your life? If you have children, have you been able to take them to spend time in other states or countries? So please call in. I don't know. What about you, Maya?
Well, my mom and my whole family, we like to travel places, like, but not most of the time. Like, sometimes we go to to go visit our cousins somewhere else. Like, our cousins in Sacramento, we, like, go visit them because they have no, like, because we just like to go visit our family and stuff. And when we go there, we go to the flea markets in Sacramento, which is really fun because they have lots of different things there that you can buy.
One of the things that I've also noticed here is that when your grandfather or my grandfather, when they grow old, they usually take them to what's it called? That one home where they
the home, like,
rest home.
Yeah, the rest home. They take them to a rest home, and in my country, well, not really my country, but I declare it my country, Mexico, they don't. They actually provide, they keep them. They provide them with food and they shelter them. And it's like most of their daughters declare their parents when they're unable to provide for themselves, like their own, like one of their own kids.
Yeah, I noticed that
and,
too.
And like it gets to the point where most of the for people that are growing up and getting to that stage where they even have to wear big adult diapers.
Yeah.
And they even give them baths. And I don't know, it's just, it feels good when you know that when you get to a certain age, you're not going to be abandoned.
Yeah.
You're not going to be thrown out to a different place. And you've even heard of nurses that take care of the elderly, how they sometimes even kill them or abuse them.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. I guess I know that when my parents get to that age, I'm not going to do that to them.
Yeah.
Because they took care of me during my infancy when they could have done what other people do and just throw them out or put them on adoption or even come to think about abortion. And I've met so many people that just give abortions because they, I don't know, I guess they just, they enjoy the sexual contact, but they don't want to have the responsibility of the consequences about doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess more people in Mexico, what I would notice, are more close, more together and stuff.
Yeah.
So, in Mexico, my grandmother, when she was young, because she ran away from home when she was 17, and being with my grandfather really wasn't your regular style of, you know, loving, caring family. It was constant arguing. She couldn't really talk about what she thought. She couldn't give her opinion. And nowadays, women actually have power now. They own their own business. They can work. It's not really like a fact, but it can be true if you believe in it. Women can actually work harder than your average typical man.
Yeah.
And I guess What do you think?
I think, like, in Mexico, women can depend on themselves instead of depending on other people. Like, I saw, like, my aunt, my dad's sister, she's living with one child, and she lives on her own, taking care of that child, and she does pretty fine because she has a job, she cleans her house, and she's still taking care of her daughter, which is a teenager now, well, almost adult, too, and she's really awesome. And other people I saw, like, are living with, like, taking care of a child by himself. And
caller, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm calling again. My name's Howard, the fellow from up above there on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
I first went to Mexico on a 30-day leave from the Navy in 1964 in a white Chevrolet sedan delivery. It was a 235 cubic inch engine and a standard shift. Mm-hmm. Built in 50 or 51 or 52. Which was, as luck would have it, 6 or 7 years after the big war, they say, that World War II. And there was a dirt road from San Ysidro there into Tijuana, consistent dirt road. And it had little truck, 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 truck where the blades would go and make the road. So it was a bit bumpy, but well-traveled in certain areas. And it went across a little narrow wooden bridge. I don't know at the time whether there was water in that isthmus or not. And we got to Tijuana, and the only paved road in Tijuana was the main street, a little convex, to say crowned in the center. But where the water went, I don't know, because there were boardwalks on each side of the main draw there, and buildings of sort, maybe 2-3 stories, some of them, wooden shanties as they were, and covers over the boardwalk. And then if you got off, parking meters, by the way. Yeah, parking meters are on the drag. And then as you got into town more, even after dark, you would go down the little wooden, the little dirt roads with potholes and water in them, so it must have rained every now and then. And then you could go out to a place they would call Cherry Hill, and it was just in between some orchards there, cherries, I suppose, but there we camped out. And then came back into town and went to a place called Rocky Puente or something, Rocky Puente said. We didn't have fishing poles, but there were fishermen there. And I think it was about a 1 week or 1.5 week, me and a friend went down there. But you see the difference between the connection of our border and Tijuana was just one dirt road. And if you had the money, you could buy a 52 Plymouth four-door sedan yellow with dingleberries all around and beautiful upholstery, tuck-and-roll seats. Mm-hmm. And you could park in an area there by San Ysidro and then trust your luck to a 52 Plymouth taxi into to Tijuana. Oh, well. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Thank you. So that's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your host today have been me, Senia.
And Mariah Duncan.
Thanks to our callers. One of our purposes to this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett Studio. You Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with HALT, Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville's Healthy Start program. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984-8089 or visit their website at www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. You Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Or through the website, www.uspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project. You can address us for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. That's www.uspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of July, the 26th at 2 p.m., Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month.